The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, apologies for coming to you a little bit late this morning. How are you doing?
Boker Tov, of course, a very somber day, not only with you, but of course here as well. Before we get on to talking about Yom HaShoah, a pleasing story which involves activities last night. Between 100,000 and 200,000 worshippers turned up to the Temple Mount last night for Laylat al-Qadr, Night of Qadr, which is a Muslim holy night. It is believed that on this day the Quran was revealed to the world, and it is also believed that on this day the first verses of the Quran were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. It's not exactly sure what the date is, but it is understood that it's an odd number date during the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, and it happened to be last night. And the good news is that the events passed peacefully. You know how tense things have been in Jerusalem. You could imagine 100 to 200,000 people turning up on the Temple Mount under those circumstances. Events did pass peacefully. There was something of an attempt to create a disturbance, which was very, very quickly brought under control. And all events passed well. So at least a little bit of good news before we talk about the events
and I think important today. Because it's not just good enough to talk about the times when five or six or a small number of people, of extremists, disrupt Muslim prayer, members of Hamas and the like. It's also important to talk about 100,000 people praying peacefully.
Agreed. And even some people are talking about it could have been as many as 200,000. So, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Mm.
Today is Yom HaShoah. What happens in Israel around Yom HaShoah?
Well, we already began last night at sunfall with the ceremonies that took place. Of course, people lighting candles in their private homes. Ceremony at Yad Vashem. Of course, the activities in Israel are very much focused on Yad Vashem. Yad Vashem, of course, being the place where the memory of the Shoah is maintained. So much good work being done at Yad Vashem to record testimonies, to record the names of the people who were lost during the Shoah, to tell the stories, to explain a little bit more about to make the Shoah a little bit more relevant to us so that we can see it, so that the younger generation can also understand exactly what is meant by the Shoah. And of course, there will be ceremonies today at Yad Vashem and across Israel. Interestingly, a visit to Israel by the president of the German Bundestag. And this is Barbel Bas, who yesterday arrived at the Knesset and was formally welcomed by the Knesset Speaker Mickey Levy. He famously and very tearfully said Kaddish in the Bundestag on the Holocaust Memorial Day back in January. He visited Germany on that occasion, and he was in tears as he recited Kaddish in the Bundestag in memory of members of his family who were lost during the Shoah. He is now playing host to the president of the Bundestag, who is here. She visited Yad Vashem yesterday, and she will also today participate in a ceremony at the Knesset. This is a ceremony that happens each year, is held in the Chagall Hall, and this is a ceremony where names of victims of the Shoah are read aloud in a ceremony that's called Unto Every Person There Is a Name. And the idea behind the ceremony and the concept is that so many people were lost who have no known place of burial, who have no gravestone erected in their name, who have no recorded date of death. So much is still unknown about what went on for those victims of the Shoah that we somehow try these efforts to memorialize their names, to say their names, to light a candle that has their name on it. There's been a recent trend or a tradition that has come up, which I've noticed, which I find very attractive, which is that when people die, they ask for relations of theirs who were lost in the Shoah to be engraved on their gravestone so that they also have a place where their name is mentioned. So this is all about preserving people's memories and preserving people's names. Another interesting thing that is being done this year is that two survivors of the Shoah who served in Israel's security forces in the Mossad were telling their story about being a survivor and being a Mossad spy for Israel in the aftermath of all that they experienced in the Shoah. There was one person, Chaim Tayar, whose name and picture were revealed. And there was a lady called Sylvia, who is still being kept under wraps, even at her advanced age, because of the activities, the significant operational activities that she was involved with that still could do damage to this day, despite the fact that she, of course, is no longer a serving member of the Mossad. Of course, she has advanced in age. So that was an interesting little development, something slightly different that they've decided to do this year. And of course, let's not forget about the March of the Living, 25 countries being represented today with the march at Auschwitz, which is being renewed after 2 years of not being able to have this event due to the recent corona events, but it has been renewed this year. And there will still be survivors of the Shoah who will march in that ceremony today, the March of the Living. And I think while we memorialize those who are lost, and we shouldn't forget their names, and we should have their names somewhere so that we can remember them and allow their names to have the same blessing and the same kavod, the same respect that we give to everybody else who passes away, I think we also need to remember the good things, the survival, the extent to which people fought. I mean, the name of Yom HaShoah in recent years was renamed to Yom HaZikaron LaShoah VeLaGvura, the Day of Remembrance to the Shoah, to the Holocaust, and to the bravery. Let's not forget the bravery of those who stood up and those who survived and who built a country out of the ashes of the Shoah, because you were here and you experienced a lot of what Israel has to offer. And I know that you had some conflicts in terms of how you felt here. But today we certainly feel that coming together when in just over an hour from now at 10 o'clock in Israel, 9 o'clock your time, we will all stand silently wherever we happen to be, on the street, in our office, in our home, wherever we happen to find ourselves in the supermarket, at that particular moment in time, the siren will sound throughout Israel and everybody will come together, will fall silent. The buses will stop in the street, cars will stop on the highway. Everybody will stand up in the middle of the road, in the supermarket, in your office, wherever you happen to be at that particular moment. And the focus for those 2 minutes is on the memory of the Shoah, on the memory of those individuals who are lost, and on the success that has been built in the aftermath of all of that, which I think is such an important thing for us to keep remembering.
It really is. Just going back to the March of the Living, there's been over the last couple of years a tremendous amount of conflict with Poland in this regard. What is the current situation? Has it settled?
Well, it's interesting that the Polish government actually will be represented at the March of the Living today. And I seem to recall that even the president himself of Poland will be present today at the March of the Living. And, you know, it raises an interesting question about our relationship today with those countries that were involved in somehow perpetuating crimes against humanity during the Shoah. What is our relationship with Germany today? Should the president of the Bundestag be in the Knesset today to commemorate Yom HaShoah with us? How do we feel about that? How do we feel about the president of Poland joining the March of the Living? How do we feel about events in Ukraine today? Because, of course, there are charges against the Ukrainians about having somehow been complicit in events that happened during the time of the Shoah. How do we respond to generations of people who came beyond those who perpetuated crimes in the Shoah, to the grandchildren of those Nazis? There's an interesting concept about talking with grandchildren of survivors. What about grandchildren of Nazis? What about grandchildren of people who perpetuated crimes against us? How do we respond to them under these current circumstances, now that three, even almost four generations have passed since those events? There's a great conflict about how we view ourselves and how we see those relationships. One of the things that I found fascinating is that the theme of this year's Yom HaShoah events goes around transportation to extinction. That's the theme.
Wow.
That transports to extinction. Yeah. And to me, it's such an important thing. The whole transportation idea for me is really important. And the reason that it's really important is because, you know, we're often asked the question, well, why is the Shoah different from any other genocide? Why should we stand up and say, this is, it's not appropriate to compare the Shoah to current day events? Prime Minister Naftali Bennett was quoted yesterday saying that it's not appropriate to bring that comparison. Why do we not think that the Armenian genocide compares to the Shoah, or the events in Rwanda, or in the former Yugoslavia, or things that are happening in Ukraine today? Why do we not think that it's appropriate to somehow compare these events to what happened in the Shoah? And I think the idea of the transportation for me is quite central, because the thing that stands out about the Shoah, beyond all other genocides that have been committed, and none of them are good, and of course we need to speak out about them and we need to react to them, but the Shoah is different. And the reason that the Shoah is different is because of the infrastructure that was built in order to support this extermination program. The railroads were taken over in order to transport people from one place to another so that they could go to a death camp that was specially built by government order, by infrastructure builders, in order to perpetuate a genocide. And I think that that's what stands out about the Shoah from every other event that we've seen in human history. Mm-hmm. The amount of effort, of infrastructure building, of policy making, of decision making that went around it, the extent to which it was so premeditated and predetermined and constructed, all with the intention of exterminating people. And I think that that is really the main difference. If we can send a message to the younger generation about why this is different, I think that that's the main message that we send. So, you know, I would like to invite everybody to participate in our midnight silence in an hour from now, 2 minutes silence actually, to light your candle to remember those who passed and the amazing success that's been built in the period that followed.
Absolutely right, Anthony. Magnificently, magnificently said and well captured. It is 8 o'clock. Thank you. As always, we'll catch you on Monday morning. Wishing you a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom, and we'll see you 7:45 Monday morning.